Thank you, Mr. Hopper, and good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be here on the Sabbath. Hope you're all having a good Sabbath. It's a special time. You know, if I asked most of you what was on your mind, I bet you'd say the Feast of Tabernacles. That's pretty simple. I'm not a prognosticator. I just know. It's a wonderful time of year. You know, this will be my 45th Feast of Tabernacles. And it gets better every year. I expect this to be the best feast. I think because 45 years, I'm expecting it to be good. And I expect it to be a little more spiritual as I grow older. It's really a spiritual feast, even though there's a lot of good physical things. Many of you haven't seen it, but if you've been around as long as I am, several of us went to the old Big Sandy feast site. If you ever remember that, you talk about a feast site. It was about 10,000, 12,000 people camping out. And they could all walk to services. So you can imagine when service would start, we'd all have our kids and our Bibles, and we'd all talk, and the big moon, and we'd go to services, and it was just a wonderful time to be all together. We'd get through, man, an inspiring service, and we'd all leave, and we'd talk, and sometimes people would, have dinner or have a drink over, and in the morning breakfast was going all through the campgrounds, and sometimes you'd eat with one another. It was a wonderful time. It's a really great way to spend a feast. I'll always remember that. Just almost a picture of the world tomorrow and being with brethren and coming before God's name, where He puts His name. It was the best feast ever, it seems, every year. It is such a blessing to continue to keep it and come before God with other like-minded brethren. I have to appreciate Mark's sermon. It seems like God wants us to get ready for the feast. He wants us to be stronger, to pray and study. And my sermon is going along the same path. So I think God wants us to really focus in on the feast, focus in on Him and His Son Jesus Christ and His way of life. You know, it's hard to believe an experience as good as a feast and the joy it brings can happen to us human beings. And it's a shame people don't understand it now, but they will in the world tomorrow. It's a joy to go to the feast. It's a joy to go to all the feast days and holy days. It's actually a joy to come to the Sabbath. What a blessing. What a joy. I ask you one question. What does God want us to learn by going to the feast? What does God want us to learn by going to the feast? He tells us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting verse 1. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 14, says, "You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourself nor shave the front of your head for the dead." He's just talking about don't do these things that unconverted people do, pagans do, All these things are against God. In verse 2, he says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." So God's chosen us, not because we're anything great. We can read 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27, that He has chosen the weak and the people that need Him more than everybody else. So but it's something to be thankful for and appreciate, because He has chosen us and He has given us a lot of things. Let's move a little forward to verse 22. And it says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name, to make His name abide." In other words, God's placing His name there. He places His name here every Sabbath day. Jesus Christ is here inspiring this message. I can tell you that I pray awful hard. I'm an engineer, not a speaker. I ask God to really inspire me and help me. And I ask God to inspire the kind of message. And a lot of times I can't give the message I plan to get. And I think most of the speakers are probably the same way. But we end up getting a message that seems to fall in place. And this message fell in place. But anyhow, He chooses to make His name abide. I've seen many miracles at the feast, of weather and of blessings and healings. I've seen hurricanes go right toward a feast site and just next day it stopped cold dead and gone. And it just disappeared. God places His name there. He's serious about it, physically and spiritually. He says, and it go on, it says, "The tithe of your grain, of your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." He tells us to go to the feast so that we may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's what we need to go do. And I want to talk about learn to fear God and what it means. It's really pretty simple. It's really pretty basic. God's way is really pretty basic. What's a hard thing to do is to follow it as a human being. I'll read a couple more here because it gives some instructions. It says, but if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far. And again, he says, if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name. God puts his name on these feast sites, and he's there. And he says, come on, I want you to come down and listen to my sermons and messages, and I want you to enjoy a wonderful time. Then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord God chooses. And you shall spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And it is a wonderful time of joy and rejoicing. Especially if your desires are on God's ways and his attitudes and methods, his laws, and our desires are focused on the right things. It's just wonderful. The word learn is from Hebrew of lamad. And the meaning is to learn, to teach, to be taught, be trained. And I especially like it to be taught, to be trained. Because what God's doing in this church and in this work is training us. Training us to be more like him. Training us to be children of his. So we can help in that world tomorrow that this feast represents. I think it's a really, of course, God, when he puts words, he has a lot of meaning into them a lot of times. He calls things by what they are. And fear is yare in Hebrew. It's meaning to fear or be afraid is one of the meanings. But it's really not the meaning here that God wants. The next two meanings are to stand in awe, to be awed, and to fear, reverence, honor, respect. So what God's talking about here is we don't want to fear him as we fear him for danger. We want to stand in awe of him and be awed by him, to reverence him, to honor him and respect him. So we go to the feast. We keep these feast days to fear God, to honor, respect God. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do. The term learn to fear is only used four times in the Bible, all to refer to God, and they're all in Deuteronomy, a book of the law. And God ties in God's laws and commandments with learning to fear him. I've only got... And I'm going to go ahead and read those other three before I go on to a few points. Go to Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Verse 10, it says, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. Of course, one of the things about the word learn is to teach or to be taught. Let's go back to verse 1 in that chapter, because it talks a little bit about what we're supposed to do, and it talks to Israel about what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live so that they fear God. Chapter 1 and verse 4 says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So he's talking about keeping the commandments and everything just like he tells you. Not better than or adding to, or not worse than or taking from. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God had destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possession. He says, so therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So he said we need to observe these things, and we need to learn wisdom and understanding from the commandments and God's ways. For what great nation is there that God is so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that such statutes and righteous judgments are in all the law which I set before you this day? Take heed to yourself. Now I say, and take heed to yourself and diligent keep yourself lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So he's saying, take heed of these things, God's ways and laws. Diligently keep yourself, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And then he goes on, and I'll repeat 10 again. It's basically concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Tremendous words about the proper way to fear God, to reverence Him, to honor Him. Deuteronomy 17 is the next one. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Here he's talking about when you have a king over you. Here's what a king is supposed to do. Verse 18 says, also it shall be when he sits, he's talking about a king, on the throne of his kingdom, and he shall write for himself a copy of this law in the book, from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Well, you know what? We're supposed to be kings and priests someday. We need to be doing the same thing. Now, I'd rather say I'm going to be a teacher someday and teach God's ways. And a lot of people say, well, how are we going to do that? If you know God's ways and His laws, that's what you're going to teach. The way we live now, the way we live to keep the Sabbath and the holy days, the feast days, the commandments, that's how we're going to teach. We're going to teach what we're learning right now. We teach the basics and how to live and how to do these things. That's what he's talking about here. As a king, as a priest, that we should do these same things. Read and study daily. And be careful to observe them. And the last one is Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. And this is the time when actually Moses was turning the leadership of the Israelites over to Joshua when they were getting ready to go into the promised land after 40 years in the wilderness. In verse 7 it says, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, he told Joshua and he wanted all Israel to hear it, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now, this fear is don't be afraid of anything, because God is your strength. God is the one you trust. And he's talking about God will go before him. Well, God's placing his name there, just like he places his name at the feast. And we go to God. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in a place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So he commanded them to actually read this law to the gathering of people. He says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that you may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. So he's saying it again. He's talking about the commandments and his way of life, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. So God's, you know, I broke it down to three different areas he talks about when it says, I want you to hear and to learn to fear God. It's three areas: to hear God, to study his word daily, and to observe all his commandments and ways, just the way he tells us to do. And the Sabbath and the holy days are a major part of learning this. In fact, I think it's one of the keys, one of the major keys that God uses for helping us to hear, to learn, to be trained, to study, to everything, to follow his ways. I know that after 45 years of keeping the feast, I enjoy the feast a lot more. I enjoy more of the spiritual message. I enjoy life better, not because I'm a better human being. I realize my human side is always there and it wants to pop up. But I have more of God's fruits and spirit. I know I do. I treat people better. I treat my wife better. I love people better. I'm more forgiving. You say, well, you're just an old guy. But, you know, I've seen a lot of old people who don't get that way. So I don't know about me if what would happen if I hadn't had God's Spirit, but I know I'm a better person for God working in my life and giving His Spirit and helping me go through some trials and tests. And it is to the credit of God, no one else. For the first point is hear God. The word hear is Shema in Hebrew, meaning to hear, listen, to obey. And it's more described with adjectives as to perceive by ear, to hear with attention, to understand the language. And we also hear it in our language. To give heed and to consent or agree. In other words, hear and listen in our own language to be able to understand, know, and agree with what is being said. We need to understand that we get messages from here. We read that Bible, that we need to listen to understand and know what's being said and to believe it and agree with it. There's two aspects of hearing about God. And the first one was partly what Mr. Smith was talking about. And that's to understand we must have God's Holy Spirit and use it. And we must serve God spiritually. And that's how you do it, through God's Spirit. Christ set the example. Let's turn to Isaiah 11, verse 1. Christ is the head of the church, and He set the example. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Actually, 1 to 5, you want to write that down if you're taking notes. Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So the Spirit of God is going to rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, which, if you remember, one of the places in Deuteronomy talked about having the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. In other words, His delight. And Christ set the ultimate example of honoring and respecting God. He says, if you see me, you see God. And He says, everything I do because of the Father, because of His power. And I do whatever He says. And He says, I'm a perfect son and follow my God, doing my Father and what He wants me to do. And we need to learn that same lesson and be delight in it, understand how wonderful God is and be in awe of Him at all times so that we want to follow Him and serve Him. And we want to enjoy the feast and the messages and have a good time. And he said, and going on in verse 3, it says, His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and He shall not judge by the sight of His eyes nor decide by the hearing of His ears. But with righteousness He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of His loins, and faithfulness the belt of His waist. Well, if we want to fear God and honor Him, we will seek to be righteous like Him. We will seek that righteousness, the Holy Spirit, to build a righteous character in our lives so that someday we can be like Him, we can help Him and serve Him. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. A little more about having God's Spirit and understanding through it. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Christ has said, what I do, the Spirit of God that I had, the works I did, you're going to do more because I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to help you. I've set the example and I'm going to lead you. I'm going to help you. But another reason, because there's going to be more people. And there's going to be a mass work like today. Can you imagine having all the electronics we have and go worldwide where we're with what we've got today? We go to the majority of the world with the TV. We go to the majority of the world with the internet. They didn't have that then. That's what he's talking about. That's one of the things that he said we'll do more, because God's going to do a work through us, through a small people, through a little people. We don't have much money, but we almost cover the earth with the message. It's amazing. I've been in Egypt out in the middle of the desert and got on the internet and I can get the broadcast. I mean, in the middle of the desert, you think, wow, there's nothing out here. Yeah, they didn't have good food, but they did have the broadcast on the internet. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. There it is, and you keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit in us is just the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Powerful words about the Holy Spirit and about understanding that we have to have by the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, it adds to that. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. We cannot understand or be called or go to the feast and understand and grow without God's Holy Spirit. It's impossible without it. So it should make us strive to have it more in us, to keep it in us and keep it stirred up, because it is the key. It's one reason we have to pray daily, to seek that Spirit and seek God's will in our lives and seek God in us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. It says, but God is revealed unto them through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us to by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So when we want to hear God, we have to have his Holy Spirit. We have to build it and keep it strong. And we have to have a zeal for his way and for his Spirit. Matthew 13 is the last scripture on hearing God. Matthew 13, verse 8. Matthew 13, verse 8. Matthew 13, verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded crops, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. This is the end of the parable of the sower. It's talking about the seed falling on good ground, which is if you're converted, you've been called, and you have God's Holy Spirit, you're that good ground. And we need to produce fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, says in verse 9. He answered and said to them, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of heaven, but to them it has not been given. God is telling us through his Spirit and power, and by us listening to that and understanding, he's giving us the mysteries of heaven. We can't sit at home and keep the Sabbath and just study on our own. And that's one of the next things I'm coming to. God gives us a spirit of understanding through his church. None of us have come to this church on our own. God has used someone else. Mr. Armstrong years ago started the later era of this church, and he came out of another church that was keeping a lot of the days, but not the holy days, and keeping some of the Sabbath, and had some semblance of it. But he learned a lot from there, and then God took him farther. And all of us have been taught by someone and learned that lesson or influenced by someone. Whether it's even the Good News magazine, whatever it is. Very few people have come without being influenced by another person somewhere or another. That's what God does. That's how he works things out. He works things through the church. Verse 16 to 17, it says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and do not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. You can tell people up here about the Sabbath day, and if they don't have God's Spirit, you might as well talk to a phone booth. I'm serious. They just won't understand. That's the power of God and the need we have of His Holy Spirit. He even talks in Luke about kings don't even know, you know. Talk about kings and presidents. Great people don't know what we get to know. We get to hear. Verse 23, it says, but he who receives seed on the good ground, he's going back and explaining about the seed on the good ground, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we hear it and we understand it and we produce fruit. The next aspect of hearing is we need to learn from the church, the body of Christ. We really need to do. God is not going to walk off and leave His church. He never has. Even in 95, when the main body of the church, some of it went on its way, God had a place for us to go and kept His church together and gave us a place to go. And He's never let us down, and He never will. He says the gates of hell will never prevail against His church. And we have to understand that this is God's church, and He's in it. And He's inspiring us and leading us and guiding us and strengthening us. And He just wants us to follow Him and do what He says and use His power and strength to overcome and do the things we need to do. Remember the spirit of knowledge and the fear or reverence of God and be delighted in it as the firstborn of all first fruits. As the head of the church of God, Jesus Christ, who set the perfect example for us and made it possible for us to follow His lead. He is the head of the church, make no doubt about it. And He knows how to run, He knows how to lead it. We just have to be patient and wait on Him because we're the ones that get impatient, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit we need to develop. Or we want to do it our way. But God's way, Christ's way, is always right. Acts 8, verse 26. Philip was teaching an Ethiopian here. And there's some interesting words here about how you learn, how the Ethiopian learned. Acts 8, verse 26. Acts 8:26-31. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert. So he rose and went and became, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he had quite a bit of authority over all of her treasury, over all the money. Wow. So he rose, he had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He was reading out of Isaiah, just like we do today. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Anyhow, if you go on, I'm not going to read it. Let's go ahead and read it. Go down to verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to scripture preach Jesus to him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Leah ended up, must have believed and obeyed, because you can't just be a, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. You have to understand and want to obey Him and follow His commandments. But the point of this is that Philip guided him, and he said, how can I know unless I'm guided? Well, God uses church, He uses leadership, He uses people to lead and help other people. And as long as they are up here and they follow God's law and they teach God's word, you should follow them. The very second they say something wrong, you need to be careful. That's just a fact of life. We're all human. If I come here and tell you, you don't need to keep the Sabbath day, you better not believe me, because the Bible is what says that. But most of the time, God's not going to let that happen in His church. I very rarely see it. God is inspiring His church, inspiring His people. And God works that way through people, for other people. And we're going to do that in the world tomorrow. We're going to learn to do the same thing in the world tomorrow to help people. Only we'll be a spirit being. But we're going to have learned the lessons of how to do that, and how human nature works, and how God's Spirit works. Romans 10, verse 14. 14 and 15. Romans 10, verse 14. Ministers bring the truth to us. People who preach. That's what it says. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. No, it's not because the feet are pretty. It's just the feet bring the truth and bring teaching and methods and bring God's word. That's what it is. That's what the church is. And that's one thing the feast is so good about. I was going to mention it later, but I'll mention it now. We get 10 services, and we get 60 the rest of the year. We get 10 services. So we get a lot of messages. We could surely really learn, and we come before God. We leave houses and homes and families and jobs, and we put God first when we go to the feast. So we're doing what we say as well, and I'll get to that later. And the Sabbath day also is a holy day it's the same importance. It is a commanded public assembly that we should come to. It's not if you wish. It is a commanded public assembly. It's good. It's a blessing. Once you go through the years, I think you learn to appreciate it and realize what a blessing the Sabbath day is. But God tells us to do it, and we learn how good it is. Same with the feast days and holy days. God tells us to do it because He knows if we're following Him and having His Spirit, we're going to learn to love it and realize how good it is and why it's good. Why we fear God in the right way of awe and respect. Because He's teaching us. He's training us. First Corinthians 12. Last scripture here on this one. First Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. But now God has sent the members, each one of them, in the body just as He's pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But indeed, there are many members, yet one body. So we are one body. We're the body of Christ. Christ is the head of this church. Go to verse 27 and 28. It says, now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So he's appointed a lot of people to do a lot of things. And one of them is teachers, ministers, people to teach us and help us. We need it. We need it. You know, I may be up here and God inspire me. And maybe I teach some of you, but some of you come up here and teach me. I may be one guy teaching several people to teach. I get about 7 or 8 people to teach me back on different Sabbaths. That's the way God works. And other things, the different blessings. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I can tell you there's a lot of other gifts that are out there. Whoever does those cards, I'm not sure it is. That's a real gift. It's a real blessing. It's a real service. And I know Mrs. Fuller and her daughter do that food. And that's a wonderful blessing she does. It's a service. It's one of her gifts to the church. And I'm not trying to embarrass her, but I just say that there's a lot of gifts. There's a lot of things. One of them is that God says He's going to preach the word. He's going to have teachers. And it's a tremendous blessing. One of the biggest blessings we have. But it has to be everything. Part two. Point two. Study God's word daily. Study God's word daily. Let's turn to 2 Timothy verse 3. Scriptures, they inspire, they correct us, and they teach us. Only scriptures are our guide, not human reasoning. When we start human reasoning around things, we're going to get off track. Started with Eve when she says, well, that food I'm not supposed to eat, that apple or whatever it was, that forbidden fruit looks good to eat. Well, you know what? That was human reasoning. God says don't eat it. God says don't do things we shouldn't do it. God says do things we should do. It's pretty simple. The hard part is doing it. We have to ask for God's Spirit and His power and His strength to do it. And trust Him that He will help us, because He will help us. He wants to help us more than we realize we needed help and how much we want the help. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3. OK. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them from. Well, we've learned them mostly from others, from preaching. Yeah, we study our Bibles, but we've been given a basis. We've been taught by God's Spirit in us, so it opens our minds, and then being taught by other people and by booklets and by the Bible. He says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given for inspiration of God, so it inspires us. It's profitable doctrine for the way we should live, the doctrine we should live by, for reproof, and for correcting us. Reproof and for corrections, it says that twice. So we evidently must need a lot of reproof and correction. It says it twice, similar meaning. And then for instruction in righteousness, it shows to how to live the right way of life. Everything we need to know is in this Bible. It's just that we need to encourage one another and teach one another, help one another. That's God's way. Verse 17 says that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:15, which is actually in my Bible on a page across from this, on the left side. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying the Bible, understanding it, having God's Holy Spirit, rightly dividing the truth. In other words, there is a way to wrongly divide the truth, which most people in this world do. Acts 17, verse 10. I know you heard about the Bereans, but there's some special meaning here that I'm not sure I ever saw before when I read this about the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 10 to 11. They studied daily to know what the truth was and to believe it. Acts 17, verse 10 to 11. Seems like every time I read the Bible or I listen to something or the tapes, I hear something new. I think, man, will I ever learn all this? Well, I think in the world tomorrow, I'll learn it. Acts 17, verse 10. It'd be better if I went to Acts 17, 10 instead of 10, 17. Okay, Acts 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul. They had just come from Thessalonica, where there was quite an uproar, and they actually had to leave so they wouldn't cause so many problems there. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Where they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. They're talking about the Bereans here now. He says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they received it, you know, already. It's one reason is because they studied it daily. But after that, it says to find out whether these things were so. In other words, you study the Bible to tell what things were right to do, not what someone says. If they sit there and tell you what the Bible says and it meets the Bible, that's what you do. But the Bible is your guide. It's the secret, not what someone says. Not an innuendo someone says. It's what the Bible says. That's what we're to do. Romans 15, 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Just one scripture here. Has some important meaning. It says, for whatever things were written before were written in our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scriptures give us hope. That we are to, these things here give us hope. And we all need hope. Sometimes we don't realize we need hope, and God gives us that hope, and the Scriptures give us hope. If you need hope, God says if you're depressed, you're down, read Psalms. And I'd say read Proverbs too, but Psalms is very encouraging. But it does give us hope, reading the Bible and God's Word. The more you read about Christ and God and the promise they give us and how they've reacted and worked with people, the more it gives us hope, gives us faith, gives us strength. Ephesians 6, 17 and 19. The Word of God is referred to as the helmet of salvation, the instrument of God's Spirit, as it cuts through man's ways to show the truth. Ephesians 6, verse 17 to 19. Ephesians 6, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this Word is the helmet of salvation because it is the way to salvation. It tells us the way to salvation. That's why we need to study it. It's our handbook to how to live, how to grow, how to overcome. It's our rules. It's our laws. And the sword of the Spirit, it calls it. Why is that? Because it cuts through wrong to the right. It's called a sword. It's a two-edged sword. It shows what's wrong, but it shows what's, it shows what's right. Praying all, in verse 8, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He said, pray for me so that I can give you more of this gospel and I can inspire you and help you to understand, help you to grow by giving you messages. That's what he said. Same thing we need to do as a church. And we need to follow. That's why we need to go. It's one of the reasons we need to go to church. Go to the feast. Get the blessings of the message. It's a blessing of what God has for coming before Him. The last point, be a doer of God's way and instructions to observe all His laws. Boy, these are basic and simple. But you know what? God's way is basic and simple. The hard thing is for us as humans to follow it. It is simple. It's straightforward. The holy days show God's plan. It's pretty straightforward. The Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, it's part of God's plan. And we put God every 7 days before everything. We put Him before everything, our wives, our children, our families, our jobs, whatever. Part of observing and doing His Word is the Sabbath day and holy days. You go to the feast, you do the same thing. You're a doer of the work. You're putting everything into practice that you hear. You have God's Spirit, and you hear, and you learn, and you study, and now you can put it in practice. James 1:25. I started to say James is one of my favorite chapters, but I mean, books of the Bible, but that would be kind of vain, wouldn't it? Yeah, my real name's James, so. But I'm not this James. James 1, verse 25, says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he's looking into the Bible to get the perfect law of liberty, which is the Ten Commandments are the law of liberty, and he continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So God says, if you look into this, and you follow this law, and you're not a forgetful hearer, and you hear it, and you do it, you're going to be blessed. And God's going to honor that, and He's going to help you. We can't just listen and talk about it, but we must learn by doing. It's like driving a car. Most all of you out here drive. There's very few. Maybe that little baby back there. But most everybody can drive a car. But you know what? If you read the manual and you went to a driver's training course, would you be able to drive a car? No. You need to get behind the wheel. And using an instructor helps you and you learn. Now, my dad, I think, taught me, and I taught my children, but somebody taught you. Somebody instructed you, you read about it, and then you learn by doing. You can't just go out and drive a car and just read about it. That's it. You're allowed to be in a ditch or hit somebody or something. It's a good example because that's the way it is of God's work, God's church. He wants. We have to hear it, study it, we have to do it, we have to put it in practice. Like I say, same thing about playing basketball or anything like that. You know, you can't read about it. You have to do it. Or anything we do. Colossians 1, verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. Actually, Colossians 1, verse 3 to 11. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You know, so many of these things are about prayer and supplication, about praying for these things, praying for God's Spirit, praying to understand, praying, you know, to help us in everything we need. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all saints, which is an example for us, because of hope which is laid up for you in heaven and which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world, and is bringing forth fruit that is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and the truth. He's talking about they were bringing forth fruit. We need to bring forth fruit. We need to be doing and growing. He says, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So you heard from him as well. And then you did it. You understood it and you did it. He said, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask him to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Hearing the word, stirring up the spirit, reading about it, and doing it. That's what this says. And that's what this last point is about doing it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just got a few more scriptures, so looks like I'm going to make it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. Talking about Christ here. It says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Whoops, I'm sorry. I'm over one. All right. Verse 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. So he's talking about preaching the word through the church. So you are witnesses, God, also, how devoutly and justly and blameless we behaved ourselves among you who believe. So they set the example. They tried to live the right way of life. Probably didn't do it perfect, but they tried to live the right way of life. None of us do it perfect because we're human. It's our attitude and striving to do it. And not make excuses if we don't, but going to God and repenting and trying to change. It says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blameless we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So it is a work in us. We need to have works. And 2 John 4:6 talks a little bit about that. This is the last scripture under this particular point about doing what God says and observing his ways and living it. 2 John 4:6. There's only one chapter here, so there's 2 John 4, it says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is the love, that we are according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you heard from the beginning, and you should walk in it. So he says, what we've heard, what we've been taught, what Christ taught, what the church teaches, we should walk in it and live it. Not just speak it. We should, you know, I've heard people say, and I say the same thing, we need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Got a few scriptures in conclusion, not too much. Let's go to a couple of key scriptures before I wrap this up. Psalms 111:10. I know, because I know that's the right scripture, because when I first wrote that down, I wrote down 110:11, and I couldn't find it. But it's Psalms 111:10. There's a lot more scriptures in here about fearing God and understanding God's ways. You know, there's a lot more, and you can do it in an hour. Probably takes several sermons to do it. Psalms 111:10. He says, the fear of the Lord, in other words, respect, the honor that he deserves, being awed by God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So you have a good understanding. You learn wisdom. We do His commandments. And we get wisdom. The respect of God helps us to do that because we want to be like God if we respect Him and honor Him and realize how great He is. And we want to be like Him. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. It's scripture you've heard before. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. But he says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Respect God. Study. Understand. Have His Spirit. Search the Scriptures daily. And live according to His way daily. God wants us to hear and listen, to study His Word daily, and to observe all His commandments and instructions always, and thereby learn to fear Him by reverencing, honoring, respecting, and being in awe of Him. The holy days and feast days of God teach or train us. Part of the word says train. In all these ways, it's a tremendous blessing. It needs to be looked at that way. What a wonderful opportunity to feast, to put these things in practice 8 days in an atmosphere representing God's kingdom of peace and love, where God chooses to put His name. That alone, where God chooses to put His name. He calls it the church of the living God. Wow, what a tremendous thing to come before someone like that. Called out of a few people, given such a wonderful opportunity. To provide powerful, encouraging, and edifying messages and doing it with like-minded brethren the whole time we're there. We need to keep all of God's holy days and feasts, including all weekly Sabbaths, to learn to fear God, to learn to fully reverence Him and honor Him and respect Him, and to stand in awe of Him so much that we have a burning and deep desire to be like Him and live by all of His ways. Have a wonderful and a happy fall feast season.